Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the 2008 World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up a deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Welcome to downtown St. Louis, where things are hopping once again in the Lumiere Place Poker Room. I am Paul Harris, sitting here with St. Louis's poker millionaire, Dennis Phillips.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing just great. Ready to get into the 5-10 game here. The action is hopping there. The 1-3 games are going. We got people sitting in the 3-6 games as well, trying to beat each other and get the bad beat.
So how come they're waving at us to come back? Do they know how we play or something?
Yeah, they know the fish are in the room. But they have to wait an hour while we do the show.
All right.
And we're happy to have you here tonight. Coming up on the show tonight, another guy who has made it into this year's November 9. His name is Eric Buckman. He's a guy who is now second in chips behind Darvin Moon, which would put him about 5 places ahead of Phil Ivey.
Absolutely.
Eric is a guy who has cashed in the World Series of Poker 9 times and in the WPT 4 times. And I don't know if this is his first final table or not, but for a 28-year-old guy, he certainly has been making his mark in the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a list as long as my arm of different caches over the last several years. I think his first cash was all the way back in 2002. So he's got some experience there.
Terrific. All right, so Eric Buckman will join us later on in the hour, and Joe, the poker coach, McGowan, will come on in a few. In a matter of fact, I want to bring Joe on here at the beginning.
All right.
Joe, are you on the line?
Hi, Paul.
Hi, there Joe.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Good, good.
I wanted to have both of you on here at the beginning because last week ESPN's telecast of the 2009 WSOP was the special charity event that Annie Duke and Don Cheadle put together called Annie Up for Africa. And when we were out in Vegas this summer, you guys talked about how excited you were to play in that and the fact that you did go play in it.
Yep.
And then last week, we actually got to see one hand, Dennis, that you were involved in, and two that Joe was involved
in. Who was I? What was that other guy's name?
You were involved with some up-and-coming young actor. I can't remember his first name. Last name was Damon.
Yeah, something like that.
Matt Damon, maybe?
He kept looking over and saying, "Where's Johnny Chan? Where's Johnny Chan?"
Yeah, looking around. He actually at one point did get into a table with Eric Seidel.
Yeah.
And had to kind of apologize to Eric Seidel because the movie Rounders that Damon starred in included that scene where Johnny Chan trapped Eric Seidel in the classic World Series of Poker moment.
Oh, yeah.
And Eric has had to live with the infamy of that being shown over and over and over again. I guess the good news for Eric is that he lasted longer in this event than Matt did, and so he got to at least have that little moment of glory.
Well, there was
plus 8 bracelets, I might point out.
No kidding, a minor little thing like that. I think there was about 150 people who started it. I went out on 22nd in this massive pot shoving type thing, and Joe was still in when I left. Joe got to be the infamous bubble boy this time instead of me.
Is that right, Joe? I didn't know that. The 18 people got paid.
Yeah, my favorite spot. Everybody's favorite spot in poker.
As I mentioned, they showed one hand with Dennis against Matt Damon where it all went in pre-flop. He had ace-jack. You had 7-6. An ace came on the flop, I think it was, or maybe a jack. Yeah. I can't remember. But they also showed two hands that you were involved in, Joe, against comedian Sarah Silverman. Do you remember those hands?
I remember one of them. I think they only showed one unless I didn't see the second one.
Okay, now
I remember one of the hands.
We want you to remember the hand, not her, okay? Get this straight.
Yeah. Don't get me in any trouble now.
Before we talk about the hand, what was it like playing a table with her? Because she seems like she would never shut up.
It was entertaining. I mean, I'm a fan of her.
Correct.
It was a lot of fun. She's very, very funny at the table, just witty, constant comments, funny things, and just kept you laughing, and, you know, she had a great time. It was cool.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen her with Brad Garrett. He was at my table at one time, and he wasn't quiet for more than 20 seconds any time.
The man does not have an off switch.
Oh, not even close.
Yeah.
And he was sitting next to the dealer, and I kept pitying the dealer.
Joe.
We were ready to tip the dealer just because he was having to put up with all this.
How about his final hand? I don't know if you guys remember that. I think he went all, called a third all in or something with 8 deuce because he wanted to go to dinner or something, you know?
I do remember that. The second of the two hands that you were involved in that were shown on ESPN last week, it was you and Sarah Silverman and our St. Louis buddy Cedric the Entertainer.
Ah, excellent.
Right.
Also
very fun to play with and very, very cool guy.
Very, very cool guy.
Wearing the red hat.
Here's what the hand was. Joe had ace, eight of hearts. Sarah had ace, eight of clubs. And Cedric was all in with a pair of sevens. You remember the hand now, Joe?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Cedric either moved all in under the gun or close to and was pretty short. And Sarah called. And then it came back to me, and I had them both pretty well covered. But as you already mentioned earlier in the show, and Dennis, you remember this as well. I think you were the one that said it. The blinds went up so fast, you couldn't play deep stack, you know, two-hour level poker. This thing, start to finish, I think was, what, Dennis, 5 hours? You know,
Something like that. It was this ludicrous.
It's designed to be charitable and fun and not play deep stack poker and have a 4 or 5 day event. It was start to finish 5-6 hours, something like that.
But it was basically everybody short stacked after when you get to the fourth level or something.
So,
it was just pretty bad.
So in that hand, after Cedric shoved and Sarah called, what did you do?
I thought Sarah, you know, kind of reluctantly called and had a little bit of fold equity. And I tried to move all in to isolate against Cedric and take a shot with a bad hand, ace-eight. But I thought it actually could cover a lot of his range, pushing all in under the gun with his big blind and small blind coming next. So I actually thought it was possible I had the best hand versus him, and I thought I could maybe get Sarah to fold and then pick up all the dead money, the blinds and anties, and get a little lucky if I did have the worst of it. But as it turned out, of course, Sarah did eventually cry call, which was fun because she does the whole deal, you play that, and how could you play that, and then rolls over the same hand, you know.
That's right. And by the way, if you're Cedric at that point and you see both of your opponents have ace eight, you got to think, I'm probably going to be good here.
Oh, when he had a call and then another call, an all-in and another all-in, he has to assume he's dominated.
But when they turn over their cards and they both have the same hand and you've got a pair,
they have the outs, obviously, each other's outs.
Right.
So, yeah, it's great for him.
Except when the board comes out, the flop was 3-9-6, the turn was 9, the river, 8.
Well, two hearts on the flop. I had kind of the free roll against Sarah, which was I had a chance to scoop the whole thing with a little bit of luck. But I had a little bit of luck. You know, I hit an 8 and was very, very happy to chop. If I had a lot of luck, I actually could have scooped it with any heart.
Yep. Well, congratulations on that, and you both look good on TV, and I guess we'll probably see a little bit more of each of you in the main event, because since I was there playing cash games and sweating you guys and checking things out, I noticed that there were cameras at Joe's table fairly often, and Dennis, you get to play at some feature tables.
Yeah.
So people who watch the WSOP on ESPN will get to see a lot of that. Speaking
Dennis
of which,
might have gotten on TV maybe once or twice this year, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, just a couple of times. Speaking of the World Series of Poker, they've made another deal with ESPN, just announced today that they have signed a new 7-year broadcast contract, which means that they will continue through this year, next year, and then all the way through 2018.
Wow.
Which I think is a good thing, because we're all fans of the guys who call the action on ESPN, and we like the way they do it. We like Lon McCarron. We like Norman Chad, right?
Absolutely.
That's great.
They do a great job. And it's difficult to do that. I don't think a lot of people realize how difficult it is trying to put all of this together, because they have so much footage on it, and they try to cover everything of it, but then they try to develop storylines through it. I would love to have a lot of the stuff that ends up on the cutting room floor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
That would be the director's cut.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, ESPN has made that new deal. Congratulations to your friend Chris Moneymaker, a fellow member of Team Poker Stars Pro, who came in third in the World Poker Open in Tunica last week. That's a 5K event at the Gold Strike in Tunica, Mississippi. Chris had actually won the PLO event there, event number 9 in the World Poker Open, just a couple of weeks ago, and he's been playing a lot of PLO, you told me.
Chris actually is playing almost exclusively PLO, and he's getting very, very good at it. If you sit down at a table with him in PLO, you know, guard your chips well.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask him, he'll even say he thinks his PLO game is much better, and it's much easier because there is so much competition on the Texas No Limit right now. Everybody's playing it. Everybody's getting good. It is just hard to really make it to a final table in one of these. Mm-hmm. But the PLO, not quite so tough right now. And he says he goes wherever he can make a lot of money.
Every time I saw him out in Vegas at various places, at the Rio and other places in cash games, he was always playing PLO. And that paid off for him when he won that event. And then he was the chip leader going into the final table of the main event of the WPO. And he ended up third because he ran ace-queen, ran into an ace-king against the eventual winner. And still, you know, 60 grand there and 16 in the PLO event. That's a nice couple of weeks for Chris.
He's been complaining lately. He's been running really, really bad. So now I'm ready to talk to him again.
Congratulations to him for that.
Good guy, too.
Yeah. Also, Sunday night was the debut of 2 Months, 2 Million. That's the show on G4 TV. Last week we had Donnie Stern, one of the four guys involved in that, along with Brian Roberts, Emil Patel, and Jay Rosenkrantz. This is where these guys moved into a 10,000-square-foot mansion in Las Vegas for the summer during the World Series of Poker. They were playing online. They were playing some live games. They were partying around Las Vegas. They were shown going to the Playboy Club at the Palms and having a birthday party for one of the guys. I think it was Emil's birthday. And they were also shown playing online a lot and trying to rack up as much as they could. They ended the first week up $35,700. Yeah. Now, if 2 months is going to be 8 weeks, they are way below what they need to be.
Hey, it's a 10-episode run.
Okay, so it's 10 weeks?
it's
one of those 10-week, 2-month deals.
There you go.
I see. Okay. Well, in that case, I guess they're still way below where they need to be.
They are.
If they're going to make $2 million this
summer. But they could be worse. They're in the black.
Yeah. All right. One other thing I want to mention here before we go, and that is that you seem to have lost a lot of weight. What have you dropped, like 15 pounds since we got back from the WSOP?
About 20.
20?
Yeah.
Whoa. Well, 20?
You would have to bring that up. I still got
20.
Some more to go.
Why are you laughing about that, Joe? Oh, I know why Joe's laughing, because you guys have a weight loss prop bet going on. I forgot about this. I completely forgot about this. What was the bet? Somebody remind me.
Oh, I don't remember it at all. Do you, Joe?
Yeah, I kind of remember a little bit. I had to get down. We each had a goal weight. I had to get down to 195.
You're probably at 187 now.
To 200. What?
Okay, Dennis.
No, don't you dare say I got down to 200. Listen to this.
215.
What was your starting weight?
Oh, that's embarrassing as anything. I started at about, and I did weigh myself, Joe, on this, 247.
Okay, 247. And you're down to?
Last time I weighed was actually 228.
228.
So 19 pounds. All right. So I didn't quite lose 20.
You notice the way he tried to add the extra pound
there? I absolutely did.
Yeah.
I exhaled.
And, Joe, what was your starting weight?
You fluctuate, but I'd have to say I was probably about 208, 210.
What do you mean you have to say? Didn't you weigh yourself? There's an actual objective answer to this.
It was kind of a floating thing, and we did it on the fly. We didn't.
Yeah.
We just trusted each other to roughly what we felt we weighed. You know,
what do you want to call it?
Close.
You want to call it 208 or 210?
Split the difference, 209.
Okay, 209. And
officially 209.
Where are you now? I hesitate to ask that question on your behalf.
I'm probably 185.
I'm at about 201. But see, it didn't really matter what we started at, Paul. It didn't really matter, because what it was is getting to the goal weight. That's what really matters.
What was your goal weight?
Mine is 195.
Okay. So wait a second. You had to lose 14 pounds, and Dennis wanted to get from 247 down to?
215.
He had to lose 14 pounds, and you had to lose 32? What kind of insane prop bet is this?
I would have liked to have seen the scale, because I think he lost weight at the World Series. I thought he looked like he was about 230, 235. He's telling me 247. I don't know how much he's doing a little semi-bluff on me here.
But again, it doesn't matter.
I believe him if he says 247, but he looked like he was 230, 235.
But again,
it
only matters at the end, because you guys set goal weights. I mean, regardless of what he started with, he still has to get to 215, and you still got to get to 195.
And let me tell you,
right,
it's getting harder and harder to keep losing this weight.
Well, sure.
The first 10 were fairly easy. Now it's getting tough.
I'm out here in the summer months in Palm Springs, so poker is not as plentiful. So I'm kind of counting on this money for you to come a little short, but I'm getting a little nervous if I can make it myself, to be honest. I've been exercising and eating the best I've eaten in years. It's very, very tough for me to take this weight off. I didn't realize it was going to be...
Money? What are you talking about? Would we ever make a prop bet?
Yeah.
Do you want to divulge what the bet was?
It was ridiculous is what it was.
Don't tell me it was something nutty like 1,000 a pound or something like that.
Well,
Joe.
Yeah, I think it was 1,000 a pound.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and then I think it was 3,000. For the goal weight. So if one guy reached it and the other guy didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and the good thing was, like, I don't want to have to lose more. And same with Dennis. That's why we did the goal weight. I don't want to have to get down to 170 and be unhealthy to try to win money. I just, 195, that's where I want to be. Same with Dennis, 215, that's where he wants to be. So to try to win more money, it was foolish to try to lose more weight than what you wanted to be at. So
yeah,
that was kind of cool. So 3,000 and then 1,000 a pound.
Joe has so much fun with this. All righty. We had the suite up there, and we're doing everything. We had, sort of munchies over there for everybody else.
Yeah.
I would go over into the bedroom, and I would find candy bars strewn all over my bed. I would find them stuffed in my pocket.
Yeah. You know what? He's ruthless. I mean, listen to the way Joe talks about this. He's got a strategy set up. He's trying to undermine you. He is totally, totally going after you. And by the way, I happen to know one thing about Joe. The money doesn't matter. It's the pride of beating you. Right, Joe?
Hey, maybe Joan Rivers was right.
You're a poker player. You're a poker player.
Poker player.
All right. Unbelievable. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back, and then we're going to talk a little bit more with Joe. I had a very interesting email from a listener that I'll share with you in a minute. A question for both of you, and maybe I'll chime in on it as well. Our email address, by the way, is DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. This portion of the Lumiere Place Final Table is brought to you in part by PokerStars.net.
PokerStars.net, again, this is where I play. And they have announced their schedule for the World Championship of Online Poker.
The W Coupe.
This year is going to be unbelievable. This is the World Series, the All-Star Game, and the Super Bowl all wrapped into one, let me tell you. There's 42 events on this thing. It's running from September 3rd to the 21st. Several of them are 2- and 3-day events on this thing. They are guaranteeing $40 million.
Now, you can get in on that for free.
You go to PokerStars.net, download the software if you haven't already, and you can start in there going through your FFP, which is your frequent player points, and work your way up and get into it. And the moon's the limit on this thing, let me tell you. It finishes on September 20th and 21st with a $10 million guarantee. And if they're guaranteeing $10 million, that doesn't mean that's the minimum. Mm-hmm. It could be $15 million by the time they get done the way they're promoting this thing. PokerStars.net, if you want to go on there, perfect your game, learn new games, 24/7, just play it, guys. It's great.
PokerStars.net, where you'll find the Poker Star in you. We're proud to have them as a sponsor at a Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and our podcast on thechipleader.com.
In just 2 short years, World Series of Poker champ Dennis Phillips has earned over $4.5 million because Dennis knows when to hold a great deal. That's why Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room is his game room superstore. Hurry to Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room now for factory closeout deals on poker tables, craps tables, blackjack tables, 3-in-1 casino tables, and accessories. Plus, get Amini's closeout deals on complete game room packages, sale priced from just $1,995. Right now, Brunswick Billiard Game Room Suites are thousands off, and American-made pool tables are just $995. Hurry to Amini's now for blowout deals on leather sectionals, area rugs, bars, bar stools, video arcade games, and home theater seating. Hold your deal interest-free with 2-year layaway. So take a tip from Dennis. Get your great deal today at Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, Highway 40 and Boone's Crossing in Chesterfield Valley, the home of the Copper Dome Amini's.
You're at the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
This portion of the show brought to you by One Time Apparel, the website to go to order your one-time T-shirts, your one-time polo shirts and baseball jerseys and hoodies, both pullover and zip-up. How many times you've been in a poker game? You've been heads-up with somebody? Maybe you got an all-in in a tournament? You need to catch that miracle card. Come on, one time. Let me hear it one time. That's where Kevin Steffen got the name for the company, and that's what it says on the shirts. He's got great original designs. There's the cotton PK sports shirt in seven colors. There's the organic T-shirt in green or eight other colors. There are three different designs on that, plus the Why Not Me T-shirt, the Lucky Leprechaun T-shirt, and hats galore, including pink camo hats for the ladies, hats with four aces that come in red, white, or black, flexible hats, fitted hats, all at onetimeapparel.com. A portion of the proceeds that Kevin raises from selling these products will go to various charity organizations. Go online to onetimeapparel.com. Charge it to your credit card. Use PayPal. Wear that stuff at the table so that people look at you and go, one time, onetimeapparel.com. All right, I'm here with Dennis and Joe. I'm Paul, and we're talking about an email that we got recently to DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. A guy named Danny wrote in, says, I'm a cash player, not so much into tournaments, although I wish I could play as well in tournaments as Dennis did this year again at the World Series of Poker. Congratulations on that. But when I play cash games, I'd like to be able to move up in limits and play in big games like you do. And I wonder, what is the biggest pot you guys have ever played in? Now, I think of the three of us, Dennis and Joe have played in much bigger games than I have. Usually, I'm playing in a 5-10 game, although occasionally I've stretched into a 10-20 game. But my biggest games are usually at lower levels. Dennis, we'll start with you. Do you remember the biggest pot you ever played in a cash game?
Yeah, I do. It was kind of an amazing one. I was actually on the button. Guy under the gun limped in. This was only a 10-25 table. It wasn't a master one or anything like that on it. But anyhow, he limped in. And it continued all the way around the table. By the time it got back to me, there were six people in the pot. Mm-hmm. I looked down at a 2-4 offsuit. Mm-hmm. Well, all I had to do was check, so I wasn't going to throw them away. Mm-hmm. I checked, and away we go. Burn card, and he turns three over. Flips it over, the top card's a four. I went, well, this is probably going to get my tail in trouble because I'm catching a four. Split it open. There's another four and another deuce there.
Ooh.
I flopped a full boat.
You flopped the joint.
I flopped the nuts right there.
Yeah.
Basically, except for... I had the nuts.
You had
There's
the nuts.
No way
Can't be quad four.
All righty.
Yeah.
It does.
You flopped a yacht. You didn't flop a boat. That's a yacht.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, of course, I just checked. Because the small blind, he checked, I checked. The guy that was under the gun makes a big bet.
Yep.
Gets two more callers behind him. Mm-hmm. Goes to the button, who re-raises. All righty. Small blind can't get rid of his cards fast enough. I'm trying to figure out how in the heck can I, there I do, no, let's just, so I just called him on it. It's being a massive one. The guy that was under the gun and then made the initial thing, shoved all in.
Nice. Nice.
Fold and fold back to the button, who is sitting there before it even gets to him, pushing his chips out there.
Wow.
Literally. So they're both all, I have not made a bet yet.
Yeah.
All righty. Haven't done anything.
Yeah.
He shoves in on the button, and then I say, I call, and they will look at me and like, where'd you come from?
Yeah.
What's going on? We're playing. You're not supposed to be in this hand.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable. The guy had limped with aces. So he had the pocket aces, saw a 2-4-4 out there, figured nobody had any of that. Got to get my money in.
Yeah.
Way. The guy on the button had pocket deuces.
Wow. Ooh. So all the money's going in anyway.
It was. It would have anyhow. Unless some. He's drawn dead.
Yes.
Absolutely, he's done. He can't.
He's drawn out. A one out or a deuce.
No, he still loses. He's dead.
Yeah.
Because that gives him, I have the deuce.
Oh, you have the deuce. Of course, there's no. Yeah. He has no outs.
He has no outs.
Right.
So I have to avoid the two aces is all I have to avoid on the turn in the river.
Yep.
On that thing. And they didn't come or anything like that.
Beautiful.
But when I turn those cards over, the guy with the aces just kind of laughed and said, it's always my luck. The guy on the button wanted to crawl underneath the table. It's like,
sure.
This can't happen to me. There's
all right,
no
now,
way.
Now, Danny, our emailer, we want to know if that was the biggest pot you ever played, how big was the pot?
No. We don't get into figures. But it was... Well,
was it five figures?
Oh, way, way over five figures.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So it was a very nice pot on that.
I love that. Joe, you got a big pot story?
Sure. Mine starts with an invitation that I had, which I made a couple mistakes because I never got invited back. I also then invited a friend of mine, Perry Green. And if you guys remember Stu Unger, whenever they show Stu Unger winning his bracelet, the guy that he shakes hands with and beats heads up is Perry Green. And Perry's also won a couple other bracelets, and he's been a winning cash game player and tournament player for obviously many, many, many years. And a WPT winner that was a friend of mine invited me to a private game, which is like the holy grail of poker. When you can get to a private game up in Beverly Hills or L.A., some of these private games are the best poker games, like, on earth. So we go up to this game, and the cool thing was about it, you pay by check in this game. The home game, you pay just by check. No cash. No cash anywhere, but, of course, you have to be, you know, kind of, I guess, what's the term I'm looking for here? So no one could kind of, you know, not pay anybody. You have to be backed in a way by somebody.
You got to be invited by somebody, and they probably have to vouch for you that.
Thank you. That's exactly the word I was looking for. Okay. All right. So anyway, the minimum buy-in is $15,000. And, you know, I'm doing well. I'm kind of playing cautiously. It's a 50-100 game with an occasional straddle. And one of the guys in the game was Bob Safai, who's become much more popular. Now, this goes back like probably 3-4 years ago for me, this game, this pot that I won. But Bob Safai, you guys might remember from High Stakes Poker and couple of maybe Poker After Dark, and he played some huge pots against Phil Hellmuth and made fun of Phil Hellmuth, like, go take a shower and this and that, and it got big laugh on High Stakes Poker. And that's Bob Safai, who's a massive action player, and is even more so when he's comfortable. You know, on High Stakes, he looks tame, you know, on TV, and to how he really plays in these home games, it's like, if you enter a pot with this guy, it doesn't matter what you have in front of you, it might be for the whole thing. He's that type of player. So I'm playing cautiously, and I chip up to almost about $30,000 in real cash money. I get involved in a pot with him, and fortunately for me, he bluffed off all of his money to me. And I didn't have a monster hand, but it was good enough to where I was able to pick up some of the things I've been trying to tell our listeners for many, many shows, all these tells of strength. You know, when you don't see those, more of an indication they may be weak or on the bluff. Couple that with some weakness tells, which he was giving me, I was able to make a good call. And it was really nice for me, too, because it was during a month I was really running terribly. You know, when I had big hands, when I had good cards, I was getting cracked. I was getting coolers. I was getting bad beats. So to be able to win, you know, basically a pretty big pot. I mean, it was all of my chips and whatever else was in there from the preflop. He and I eventually heads up. It was pretty nice to be able to, you know, have that size of a win from one hand. You know, when you're running bad, if you make pick off some good bluffs and make some good calls, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. I love it when they bluff off all their chips to you. One of the nicest things.
It's a very good feeling. I'll tell you one poker coach thing from that game. One of the better players in that game that was the host of the game. I noticed when he was in the game, there were many spots when I wasn't in the hand. There was a lot of weakness in the pot, and he was the last person to have an option to bet, and he would just check. And on the river, he would just check and kind of laugh. And I thought to myself, why would he do that? He so easily could have picked up that pot. So whether it was a week later or, you know, the next day we had lunch or somehow, somewhere, and again, this goes back in time a ways, I was with him, and I asked him, I'm like, you know, why is it you didn't pick up those pots? You know, I know you sensed the weakness. I know you could have won those pots. Why didn't you pick up those pots? He goes, Joe, I never would want to pick up those pots. Those are very, very, very small pots. I know I could have picked up those pots, but I wanted to protect my image for a huge pot. You know, when I'm on a straight draw and I miss and I can bluff the river and I'm going to get the respect and I win a huge pot on a bluff, they're going to believe me. So I think I might have mentioned something similar to this in past shows. If I did, you know, it's definitely worth bringing up again. But that's where I picked up this. It's not really a tell. But that's where I picked up this concept from him of really being careful of protecting your image. And it may not be worth bluffing at a lot of small pots to tarnish your image because you may need it during the big pots, which was a really good concept that I picked up from this great player that's a huge winning player out of Commerce, out of their biggest games. He's not really a friend of mine, but that was a nice one poker coach-wise for our listeners to think about.
Oh, absolutely. Nice, solid piece of advice there on it. That's why you don't show your cards. That's why you have to know what your table image is. And it can change. And you got to realize, too, you've been playing it and you've got a table image and then you get moved to a new table. You're starting from scratch. some people come over there and think the same image is coming with them, some magical appearance behind them telling everybody how you're playing. Doesn't work that way. You get busted, right. You go to a new table, you start from scratch.
That's a great point.
People got to realize that.
All right, quickly, I'll tell my biggest pot ever story, just so Danny has all three of us and is included in the answer to his email.
Okay.
And it was a very, very boring story. I was playing a 5-10 game at the Wynn about 2 years ago, and it was a wild game. People were betting this thing up, and there was a lot of money on the table. I had bought in for $2,000. I was up to about $7,000 at this point, and I'd only been playing for a couple of hours. It was just wild pots. I was on the button, and the guy under the gun had raised. Oh, we were playing 5-10 with a mandatory $20 straddle. So it's really a 5-10-20 game.
Right.
The guy who's under the gun, after the straddle, makes it 100. Fold, fold, fold. Another guy who's been kind of wild makes it 400. By the time it gets to me on the button, I look down, I got a pair of aces. I know that the guy who's just made it 400 is willing to play big pots. I make it 1,000. Because I know that if he's got any kind of decent hand, he's going to probably raise it back up. The original raiser, the under-the-gun guy, the blinds on the straddler folded, the under-the-gun guy called my $1,000 pretty quickly, too. What's that about? I think he's probably pretty strong. Comes around to the other guy, he makes it 5,000, his entire stack. Well, I've got aces. I'm more than willing to play for 5,000. The other guy, the under-the-gun raiser, didn't have quite that much in front of him. I've got them both covered. I'm more than willing to play. I call. The under-the-gun guy, who had raised originally, looks at both of us, says, well, I guess one of you must have aces, and mucks his kings face up. At which point, the other guy, who I had written off as a wild guy who liked action, he dropped the F-bomb and turned over his two kings against my two aces. He has no outs. Now all I got to do is make sure the board doesn't come 9-10 jack-queen, and we're going to be solid here. The board blanked off. I took the whole thing down, an $11,000 pot.
Very good.
Very easy.
Did you have them covered in the flush cards as well, or did you even remember?
I don't even remember, but all I know is the board blanked off, and I pulled in all those chips. But it was so funny when the first guy mucked his kings and the other one turned his over. Oh, what a wonderful feeling that was. Wonderful. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll be joined by the guy who seconded chips at this year's WSOP main event final table. His name is Eric Buckman. He's a member of this year's November 9, and we'll get to him in just a moment. Here on the Lumiere Place final table on 590 of the Fan, KFNS, and thechipleader.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Reactor Watches.
Reactor Watch, that's the watch that I wear all the time.
This is the watch you started wearing when you were in the November 9 last year.
You got it. It's a gorgeous one. And by the way, they've made another one for me. I'm going out to Vegas when I go out there for the W Cough out there.
The World Championship of Fantasy Football.
They're going to be presenting me with another watch. What they said will blow this one away. So I am rather anxious to see it. But it's everybody, you know, they take the watch off. I show it to people, dealers, players. Everybody wants to see the watch.
I bet Reactor has sold a lot of watches because you wear that all the time and people see it and they love it and they want one either like it or maybe something in the same line or a ladies' version.
The thing about Reactor is once you buy one, they figure you'll come back because it is so durable, it is so comfortable, it fits all the things, and it's so user-friendly. Reactor Watch, by far the best watch I've ever owned, period, bar none. So if you're going to go to it, reactorwatch.com or just talk to me. I will endorse the heck out of Reactor Watches.
We're back with more of the Lumiere Plays Final Table right after this.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Now, taking you from the flop to the river, here are Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris talking poker at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
Welcome back to the table here, the final table with Paul Harris and Dennis Phillips. We are joined now with Eric Buckman, one of the November 9. Eric is sitting at the final table now with a little over 34 million in chips. He is second only to Darvin Moon. And I'll tell you what. He seconds nobody at that table except maybe Phil Ivey and his experience and what he's done. He's been active at this since 2002. Welcome, Eric. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Dennis Phillips?
Eric and I have developed a good friendship. I followed him the last few days out there, and he is quite the card player, shall we say.
Eric, I was looking up some stats on you. 9 WSOP caches and 4 WPT caches. And I understand that Dennis has convinced you to sign on with Poker Stars as well. Is that true?
Well, I don't know if I convinced him or not.
Dennis didn't have to sign up with Poker Stars. I always did Poker Stars from the beginning, actually.
Right. Excellent, excellent. It's a good place to play. There's no doubt about that. Hey, I hear you're going to London.
Yeah, I'm going out there for the EPP London.
Excellent. Have you ever been to London?
There.
First time.
I'm sorry.
Cool. Your first time there?
Oh, yeah, my first time there.
Well, I will be out there also. We've got to tell you what, I was there last year for my first time. But I think I can show you a little bit of the ropes. We can go over there, check out some of the pubs maybe or whatever, and play some good cards. You'll enjoy it over there on that.
Yeah, I can't
If you've never been there, is there anything in London or in England that you and your wife would love to see?
Actually, it's my girlfriend. She went to school in Oxford for like a year. So she's familiar with London. Yeah, she's a smart cookie.
She can take us around. Heck with that.
She had some things that she wanted to show me while I was there. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to want to be seeing the sights.
Eric, are you planning on playing a lot of different tournaments? Are you back on the circuit for this fall between now and the final table in November?
No, I'm not playing that many tournaments between now and November because this is kind of like, for me, like a three-month vacation that I'm taking. Like, I'm going to play definitely the EPT London. And I might play another tournament in between now and November. There's one in September that's real close to me, so I might go for that one. But, yeah, I'm going to play online also at Poker Star. I'm going to play a few set and goes. And I might play a couple of the World Championship of Online Poker events also.
But do you have any?
For the most part, yeah, not really.
Okay. Well, do you have any special strategy or changes or anything like that? Anything you can take advantage of in this 3 months? How are you going to be prepared to go back there and go against Jeff Shulman and Phil Ivey and all these other guys?
Really, to be honest with you, I really feel like I've been preparing for this tournament for like the last like 10 years. So I'm going to play a little bit here and there, definitely just to stay sharp. I don't want to, like, not play at all and then go in there, you know. But I also don't want to play too much. So just, like, a little bit here and there to stay sharp, but not too much because, you know, at this point, like, if I play too much, especially, like, right before the main event, I might get burnt out. So I don't want to play too much and get, like, burnt out. I want to go in there somewhat fresh.
Well, you know yourself better than anybody else. If that's the best way to prepare, it doesn't sound like a bad philosophy to me, that's for sure, on it.
Eric, there were a couple of quotes right after the final table was cut down from 10 to 9, and you guys knew you'd be in the November 9. Jeff Shulman, of course, became famous for saying, I'm going to throw that bracelet in the trash if I win it, which he has since retracted. But you were also quoted as saying, I don't really care about getting recognition. That doesn't really matter. I'm just here to win money. What does that mean, and do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I'm not going to retract the statement, but, you know, having a little bit of recognition is nice, but it is more about the money, for sure. Like, but it's not all about the money. I definitely care about winning the bracelet. That means a lot to me also. So, yeah, I mean, but for the most part, yeah, I mean, I play to make money. I mean, the bracelet isn't going to, you know, put my kids through college and buy me a house. You know, that money will. So.
See, now that's very smart. You're getting a bonus of, a little over $1.2 million on this, and that's great.
Yeah.
And that can be life-changing and life-altering, but it is not enough to go, say, you're 29 and I'm now going to retire. You know, not going to happen.
No.
So
no, not
going to
happen.
Right.
Definitely not with $1.2 million.
No. So you need to invest that. You need to play things smart. But it sounds like you've got, I'll tell you what, you've got your head on straight on this thing. You know, going into it. So now I got a question for you, just a blunt question. Are you more interested in finishing first and winning the bracelet or just chipping up and finishing second, third, fourth, fifth, or do you even know yet?
I'm interested in chipping up, but not at the expense of sacrificing, you know, my shot to win the bracelet. I don't want to get like so low where I like really, you know, give myself very little chance to come in first. But like, no, I would say I'm that interested in chipping up. It's so much money you're winning no matter what that I mean, it's a hard question to say. Like, if you go back to 2006, for example, when Jamie Gold won, like, that year when they were three-handed, there was a big hand that came up where the guy Binger had ace-10, bought top pair, and the other guy, what was his name? Just in a second.
David Williams?
No,
Paul Wasika.
Wasika, that's right, it.
Paul Wasika.
He had an open-ended straight flush draw. And then Jamie Gold had just had an open-ended straight draw. So I think it was, Binger made a bet, and Jamie Gold put him in. And then it was up to Wasika with his straight flush draw. Now, he ended up folding that hand. But if he had played that hand, you know, he would have won that pot, and he would have had a really, really good chance of winning that bracelet that year. Mm-hmm. Now, like, if that was me, I think I would have gambled there with a straight flush draw. So
okay.
I'm not that interested in chipping up. I'm interested in it, but winning the bracelet is more important.
For the viewers, Eric's got a very, very good point here, because if you have that kind of competition and you're down to three-handed and somebody's all the way in and you have a chance to move up one just by folding, I mean, I'm telling you, nine people out of ten would fold there.
That affected his decision for sure.
Oh,
that,
absolutely.
That he was in a, had an opportunity to move up, and it was a big move up. I mean, he's talking about a difference of a few $1 million. So,
oh, it's like $3 million difference. It was monstrous.
I think that definitely affected his decision. Because a straight flush draw three-handed on the flop, it's a big hand.
Oh, yeah.
Three-handed. I mean, I guess you could also look at it, and you definitely don't want to be up against, like, the nut flush draw. That would be a bad spot to be up against. But, like, up against ace-10 and up against maybe a pair of jacks or queens or kings or, you know, I love that spot.
Oh, as long as nobody else had the flush draw, absolutely.
But let me ask for your perspective on this, Dennis, since you were there in the November 9 last year. When you're at the table, I mean, you're obviously playing, and you're playing for hours and hours and hours. You got the cameras around you. You got the lights on you. You got the crowd around you. You, of course, had the biggest crowd of everybody that was there. And a lot of us in the white shirts and red caps, you know, 6 feet away from you were Joe and I and the poker lawyer, we were all right there, plus a lot of your friends and family. In the midst of all that, are you thinking to yourself, okay, I'm going to lay this hand down because if I stay out of this and this guy wins it and beats that guy, I move up and I make another $700,000? I mean, does that enter into your on-the-table strategy?
Actually, whether you want it to or not, it comes into your mind. Because, I mean, it's right there on a board right in front of you, and everybody's announcing it every time somebody goes out, and then they announce what the next place is. And all the way, they're driving it into your brain while you're there at that table.
So you know what the money situation is.
You know how
much each slot is going to do. And do you think that affects it all?
Well, sure it can. It can affect most people.
Yeah.
That's why I was so pleased when Eric said that he would have played the cards. Because do the flip-flop. Say Paul had been the first to act. Do you think he would have laid that hand down?
No.
Absolutely not. No. So, again, he actually got hurt that time by being last to act, which is, you know, it happens. But it was very, very difficult for him to call that or to shove in because you've got a guy, you know, with a good chance of being knocked out. I mean, good grief. I can see why he laid it down. The prudent thing to do is to lay it down. But the best poker playing is to call there.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, that would be very, very tough.
Eric, do you plan
right.
on getting...
You're right, Dennis. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that. He had no fold equity there. Because at least if he pushes in, he's got some fold equity they could fold. He already knows that, you know, they can't fold.
Exactly.
I think Binger moved in, and then, like, Jamie Gold moved in also, pretty much.
So, pretty enough that he was going to call anything. He didn't have anything to
put
that does,
so that does that does affect things also that he has no fold equity in that spot. Like they can't fold.
Eric, do you plan on taking on a poker coach or talking to any pros and getting any kind of training between now and the November 9?
No, I don't plan on taking on a coach. But, I mean, I would like to at least, well, I'm definitely going to play, you know, just a little bit like heads up sit and goes or, you know, nine table sit and goes just for a little practice. I mean, I would like to maybe, you know, maybe play with some of my friends, some people who I, like, really respect, you know, who I think are really good players and play them heads up. Not for, like, a fortune of money, but just for, like, you know, enough money so that, like, you know, we could both play our best and try and maybe improve a little bit upon my heads-up game because not that often I play heads-up no limit.
Well, one of the hardest things to do is to play serious when you're five-handed, four-handed, three-handed because you don't get that much of a chance to do it in a cash game on it. So I think you have, playing some sit-and-goes, playing some shorthanded sit-and-goes is usually very good.
Well, you know what Eric was just mentioning is exactly what you did last year.
Correct.
I mean, I hope you don't mind me giving away this secret.
No, go for it.
But Dennis invited me and a bunch of his other friends who are fairly decent players to come down here to Lumiere and play single-table satellites five nights in a row. We usually got in two, sometimes three in the course of the evening. And everybody actually had to put up cash to play, you know, for a buy-in. So everybody was really playing for something, not just goofing around like it was a free roll.
And I made the mistake of saying I'll buy all the food, and these guys took me up on it.
That's true. But did that help you in the way that Eric is hoping it'll help him as the ball goes along?
Absolutely. Because, again, it's hard to play high-quality poker two-, three-, four-handed, you know, in cash games. You just can't do it.
Right.
So this was a great way to do it. I encourage you to do some of those sit-and-goes. Get some of the guys around there. And even some of the better players maybe that are at your local casinos. See if you can get them involved because you're going to be recognized now. So, you know, they'll come and play with you. You know, take a trip to Atlantic City or something. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Eric, we appreciate you joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table, and we wish you the best of luck over the course of the next couple of months, and certainly we're looking forward to seeing you at the November 9. I will tell you that when the final table was set and I got a chance to look at everybody here, I know everybody mentions the name Phil Ivey. He's seventh in chips now. You're second in chips. I've heard about your history. Dennis has told me a little bit about watching you play. You were the guy who I picked to win this whole thing. So now you have no chance.
Thank you very much, you know, for the compliment.
I will say one thing. If anybody didn't know Eric Buckman before this, and any of the other people sitting at the table, don't worry about Eric Buckman. They're making a mistake. No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
So may the cards be with you.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, I'll see you in London, if not before.
Eric Buckman, one of the November 9 this year in the main event of the World Series of Poker, joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. This portion of the show brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance, and we've got some news for them that we'll get you right after this.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Before they sit down to play tonight, they're talking poker with you right now. Live from Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis, here are Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
Before we introduce one more guest to you, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance, online at theppa.org. This is the organization supported by and fighting for poker players online, offline, home games, bar leagues, in casinos and not, all across the USA. And they are fighting fights in courtrooms in the United States Capitol. I'm sure they were very happy to see George Will's op-ed piece in the Washington Post on Sunday, in which he urged Congress to change the UIGEA and make poker playing legal in every form in the United States. That was a terrific piece that he wrote. Unfortunately, we do have some courts where we still have to fight that battle. Just in the last week, a Pennsylvania jury has found poker to be a game of chance, and a Colorado judge has disapproved of a ruling in a lower court that allowed someone to come in and talk about the facts behind poker being a game of skill.
Can I have the jury and sit down at a card table with them? Just chance each other?
Yeah, poker's not like spinning the big wheel.
Not quite.
If it were, the best players wouldn't end up at the top on a regular basis. That's why we need the Poker Players Alliance, and they need people just like you to join in the fight. Go to thePPA.org, and for $20, you can become a member of the Poker Players Alliance. All right, who's joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table?
We have a gentleman who I just happened to see out here on the casino floor, a friend of mine from down south. Runs a poker room down at the Beau Rivage down south. I've been lucky enough to go down there. Got chased away by a hurricane, but, you know. if you've ever been to the Bellagio, this is like a smaller version of it down there. It's absolutely awesome down there.
It's the Beau Rivage in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Yeah. So, Ken, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Right. Nice to have you. You're actually gearing up for a big event at the Beau Rivage in just a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, big event, the Gulf Coast Poker Championship, which starts September the 3rd and goes through the 14th.
This is one of two major events that you host in the course of a year, right?
Well, actually, we do. I host five, actually. Two in Tunica, Mississippi, two at the Gold Strike, and three at the Beau Rivage in Biloxi.
Wow.
Well, you're busy.
Were you involved with the World Poker Open that just wrapped up?
I was one of the tournament directors there. I'm the director of poker operations for Gold Strike as well as the Beau Rivage, and great event. Mm-hmm. The World Poker Open has been around since, 2000 was our first year. Great event, rebuilding it a little bit as the WPT actually moved from the Gold Strike in January to the Beau Rivage in Biloxi.
You must have been really upset. Oh, wait, no, it's still mine.
It's mine and many others. It's a great event, though, and the World Poker Open is going to grow. But the event, Beau Rivage, great event. Every event that we've done is terrific. And, of course, as Dennis just mentioned, last September, Hurricane ran us off.
Yeah. This is a great facility if you've never been down there. It's right on the coast. You're right there by the beach. Great view. The casino itself is set up and just an awesome way. And then, of course, the way Ken runs a tournament. You know, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you have never been down there, you need to get your tail down there.
What was at the Beau Rivage the place where you were playing in a huge cash game and you refused to leave even though the hurricane was coming? Was that the Beau Rivage?
I still have scratch marks on the table from when they were dragging me away. We sat down with several different people, and I don't know, it just kind of kept momentum, kept building. We started out at a 5-10, I think it was, or a 10-20, 5-10, I think 5-10. Even what it was. And we all had a couple of thousand in front of us, and before it got done, there was over 400,000 sitting on the table.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was basically give us some life vests or something, you know, put us in a boat, just let us keep playing. We didn't care.
Must have been one giant fish at the table.
We said the lights were going to go out, and they said that's not a problem.
Yeah. Candles. Let's go. Flashlights.
Candles. We'll hold the cards down. We're fine. We're ready to go. So it was a great event and a great game. And of course, like you just mentioned, a lot of money on the table for such a game that usually, you know, you expect everybody to have a couple thousand, but may have started out a couple thousand, but at the end it was probably $400,000 on the table.
Wow. Guys must have been pulling out bricks.
Big bricks. I think even Dennis had his own brick.
It was so comical because one gentleman, nice, distinguished-looking gentleman, about my age, money started piling up on the table, and he was watching it back and forth, and he stood up and walked away. And I went, okay, well, we drove this guy away, darn, but he's a pretty good player. I didn't mind seeing him leave.
Yeah.
Then he comes walking back, and he starts plopping down $10,000 packets.
Uh-huh.
Like, never mind.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, so September 3rd is the beginning of the Gulf Coast Poker Championship at the Beau Rivage, where Ken Lambert runs the room.
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table. It's a pleasure.
It's wonderful to be here at Lumiere. Thank you very
much. I can't be there in September, but I'm coming in January.
There'll be a big one in January, WPT event, and we're all going
to
be there.
I'm looking forward to that.
I appreciate it.
Dennis, before we go, a couple things I want to mention here.
Okay.
Remember the sponsor of this year's WSOP was Jack Link's Beef Jerky?
Okay.
A listener named Tom emailed me this today. There is now a company that will put your business card on beef jerky. This is not poker-related at all, but I had to bring it up. By the way, the beef jerky in the business card, not edible, he says. But I'm wondering what kind of business you would have to be in to hand somebody a beef jerky business card, except for maybe selling beef jerky.
I'm sorry. I immediately went to PETA, and I started to think, what would their reaction to this be? No, never mind.
The other thing I want to mention is the odds for Phil Ivey to win this thing have gone down on Bodog, an online website where people can bet on who's going to win the World Series of Poker main event. Mm-hmm. He was 3.5-1. He's now down to 3-1. Not because people think he's going to win this thing more than they did a couple of weeks ago, but because the money's coming in.
Well, exactly. Odds are based on the money.
Right.
And right now people look down the table, they see Phil Ivey's name, and they throw a few bucks on it.
Darvin Moon, who is the chip leader, is still listed at the favorite at 1.7-1. I don't think I would take that bet.
No.
Not with these other guys at the table. Then Eric Buckman, who we just had on here,
right,
who is second in chips, is the second favorite at 3-1.
Okay.
As is Phil Ivey.
Wow.
Then
okay,
there's the 4-1 group that includes the Wall Street banker Stephen Begleiter and the card player editor Jeff Shulman. And then Joe Cata or Cata?
Cata.
The 21-year-old kid from Michigan. He is now 10-1. There's the French guy, Antoine Saut, who is at 12-1, along with your Florida friend, 51-year-old Kevin Schaffel,
uh-huh,
who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Correct.
And then James Aikenhead, is he the short stack?
Oh, yeah, he's only got $6 million.
He is a long shot at 22-1.
He's the Kelly Kim of their table.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know what? Kelly was very lucky last year in being able to make that move up one slot and making $400,000 when Craig Marquis made that move in and ended up ninth instead of Kelly. I'm sure that James Aikenhead is hoping, let me just sit around here for a couple of rounds.
Well, not that I would ever bet any money or anything like that, but I tell you, with those odds you have right there, frankly, probably the best person because of his accomplishment and everything is Jeff Shulman.
Jeff Shulman at 4-1?
Probably so. Much better than Phil Ivey at 3-1.
What about Eric Buckman at 3-1? I just said in
Eric Buckman's
with
not
him,
bad either. Yeah, much better than Darvin's, that's for sure.
Yeah. Before we go, I want to say thank you and goodbye to a buddy of ours, Brad Feth, who has been the engineer for our live remotes here at the Lumiere Place Poker Room for all 28 of our shows all year long. He even put up with some nonsense that we put him through when we were doing the show from the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Tonight's his last show with us. We wish him the best as he moves on to his new career. And we thank you very much for that. Don't forget, our podcasts are available on thechipleader.com. I'm Paul Harris for Dennis Phillips and Joe McGowan, the poker coach. We'll see you next week at the Lumiere Place Final Table.